You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome to episode 56 of the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, January 28th, 2009. I'm Martin Spriggs, and I am very happy that you decided to listen in once again to a show where we talk about technology and hopefully where that intersects with your ministry and how the two can work together to glorify God. Joining me today, as usual, is Sally Draper from beautiful Sleepy Eye, Minnesota. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. We've got sunshine and Sleepy Eye. Can't complain today.
Great. We do too, but it's deceptive sunshine because it's only like 5. How about there? You sending us good weather?
Yes, I think you can look forward to a warm-up. We might hit the 20s today.
Ooh baby. All right.
Yeah.
And also joining us, our monthly contributor, our semi-regular classroom technology correspondent, Gail Potratz.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you, Gail?
I'm doing great. Enjoying using a lot of creating technology here lately. Sometimes in my work, I spend a lot of time maintaining and doing the kind of stuff you have to do, whether you like to or not. But this last week, I've been involved in a lot of creative projects here at church and school, so that always energizes me.
Good, doing some of the fun stuff.
Right.
Very good. Well, as we always do when we have Gail on, we like to focus on classroom technologies, of course, and not to leave out anybody who is perhaps not in a classroom. I think there are applications for most of the things that we talk about across the board, especially for our pastors who do any kind of confirmation teaching, even some meeting management. We talk about things that might apply there as well. And today we've got a wonderful topic that I think is very relevant in the classroom today, and that is the topic of smart boards. We've talked about smart boards in the past, but we had a chance to, at least Gail had a chance to sit down with a teacher who is making great use of this and has for many years down in Muskego, Wisconsin, Linda Kasten. We're going to play that interview in just a couple minutes. But where are we with smart boards in classrooms today? Is this a growing trend, Sally, Gail?
I think what we're seeing is more and more classrooms are getting them. You'll hear Linda reference the fact that they're even being used to recruit students to schools. It's really wonderful technology. It's addressing learning styles that haven't been addressed in the past and allowing us to really engage the students and get them active in their learning process, which is just a win-win situation for everyone. And so, yes, I think we're definitely seeing the trend take off in this direction.
Maybe for those who aren't familiar with what a smart board is, Gail, you could describe one for us?
Well, the easiest way, I guess, would be to say it's an interactive whiteboard. It allows students and teachers to project material from their computer, which would of course include from the internet, onto their whiteboard, and then have the interactive mouse effect so they can take things, move things around, open things, close things. Very good for illustrating concepts in a visual way and a kinesthetic way, and Linda will talk quite a bit about that. Right now, I've seen some negative articles. They've been around long enough that there are some people that are questioning their value because they are a little pricey. Is it really something we need? And I think that after you listen to Linda, who has used one for about 6 years, there will be no doubt in your mind that they are valuable, and schools are on the right track in trying to use them to enhance their curriculum they're already using in their schools.
So the input device for these smart boards would be your hand or a tablet or a marker of some kind that interacts with the board. So you don't need the keyboard, you don't need the mouse in this case. And in general, the usage of them is to have children interact with the board as well as the teacher. So you're touching all of the, you know, many more of the senses in that regard. So one of the questions is why, you know, is there value in this? What does it really mean, for instance, to truly use a smart board? Everybody, you know, likes new technology and it's kind of fun to kind of play with, but how do you really use one?
Right. I think the deal is to take it to the next level, make it beyond a glorified projector that you can play with as the teacher, but engage the students in the actual learning and bringing them to the board and having them interact with the materials. You know, simple example, working on fractions, have them have pieces of a pizza and build up their fractional problems with interactive things rather than just writing down the numeric representations of the fractions. Mm-hmm. So engaging the learner, that's what it's all about.
Thanks, Sally. And was it you that shared an article that called them think boards, or was that you, Gail?
Right. That was something I had read, that mm-hmm. the author preferred the term think board rather than smart board, because the idea, again, of getting the kids involved in more higher level thinking skills. I think, too, picture this. What Sally said is absolutely correct. But add to that the fact that there's some terrific managerial things available here. I have the world's worst handwriting. All my students will tell you that.
No, it's not worse than mine, Gail. I'm sorry.
It is. I could have been a doctor. So what I like is you can write on this board, and then you can, with a click, it will take your scrawl and turn it into actual letters that can be read.
Really?
And then, yes. And then also, think about this for students who are absent. You can, you know, you've got your notes, your assignments, whatever that you've taught them on the board. You can also capture that right there. And, of course, because you're online here, what can you do? Instantly email that to the student.
Mm, cool.
So there's those kind of things that go beyond the actual education itself that really really sell this thing to me.
And the software, as I understand it, and from what I've seen, you can essentially build a lesson plan or even a curriculum or a series of lessons into it. It'll store it, catalog it, categorize it, whatever, and then you can share those. Is that right?
Yes, definitely.
That's right. You'll hear Linda talk about that in the interview, that there's loads of resources available on the internet that you can share your own. You can download other people's lessons on the four seasons or whatever it is that you're teaching in your classroom that day. You can go out and find those available on the internet. And like Gail said, you can easily save your stuff and you know, print it and have different modalities of the work that you've done as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that, why don't we listen to the interview? Then we'll come back and talk about where you can get these at a discount and some training opportunities. Here is Gail's interview with Linda.
Today I'm speaking with Linda Kasten, a teacher at St. Paul's of Muskego, Wisconsin. Linda has been using SmartBoard technology successfully in her classroom for several years now. Hello, Linda, and thank you for agreeing to share with us today.
Thank you for asking me.
Why don't we begin our conversation by having you tell us just a little bit about yourself and your role in education, how you arrived at the point you are today with the use of technology in your classroom with your students?
Well, I've been teaching first grade now for 6 years. And before that, my role at St. Paul's was the Learning Center teacher, where I was teaching both the children who struggle and the children who were academically gifted. At that time, I was involved with creating the video, The Word of God Comes to Life, which was made for the Sunday school teachers. In that video, we talked about children's learning styles, and it was at that time that I became very interested in the auditory, visual, and kinesthetic learning styles. And I had realized at that time that I probably was not reaching all of the children in my classroom. So after doing some research, I decided that I had to do something in order to make sure I was reaching all children with all the different learning styles. And when my position changed from the learning center to first grade, I initially was not very happy with the change. And one of the fathers of my children came into the room and said, "What can I do to make this easier for you?" And because I had gone to several of the technology conferences that had been held in previous years, I said, "Well, a smart board would be really nice." And so that's how the first smart board came to St. Paul's. We had a parent who actually purchased it for my classroom. So it was such a gift that I am eternally grateful to this man for giving to us. And from my room having the first smart board 6 years ago, we now have smart boards in all 8 classrooms, plus kindergarten, plus our learning center.
Wow. What an unusual way, first of all, for you to come to the realization of the fact that what you were doing in education wasn't reaching everybody. You came across that not in an usual educational setting, but by doing an extra project for another reason, and that's how it was brought to your attention. And then second of all, the fact that you had a parent that intervened here so generously, and actually without his impetus, it could be that you wouldn't have had any technology for smart boards in your school.
That's correct. And right now, half of our smart boards have actually been donated by parents.
That was going to be my next question. Yeah. If that trend continued, or these people just volunteered, and what do you think motivated them to continue to supply the school in this way, Linda?
Well, the first father who bought this smart board, I had two of his children also coming up. So when the child I had my first year in first grade moved into second grade, he also purchased that smart board for the second grade classroom because he saw how it benefited his child in first grade. He wanted his child to have that same exposure also in second grade. So after we had the first two smart boards, then school bought the next few. And then again, there were a few parents whose had children in other classrooms who said, "My child has had this smart board in the first 2 grades, 3 grades. He really needs it in the next grades too." So wow. Last spring, we got our last smart boards. We now have them in all rooms.
Interesting way that came about. That's really, what a wonderful way that it came about, that parents were able to see the results and the success that was brought to you, to your school and their children through this tool of technology.
And not only that, we have had children who have now come to our school because their friends and neighbors whose children go to St. Paul's, you know, talked about what a wonderful tool this was and how it enhanced their learning and made everything so much more clear to the children. We have some unchurched children who are at St. Paul's because of the smart boards.
Because of your technology. Wow. Well, that speaks volumes to us about our ministry, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
It is important for us to be well equipped, and the Lord will help us to be equipped in the way that we need, even with our technology needs. Very, very nice. Let's talk a little bit about your school and what you do, especially you, with your smart board in your classroom. I guess teachers would probably be interested in what you do with a smart board as far as how it connects with the curriculum that you already have in place. We have your core content curriculum working in your school, and then you add these smart boards. How's the connection made between those two things?
I use this smart board in virtually every single subject that I teach now. In Word of God, I do my hymn studies. I can do them as a PowerPoint. And then as I'm teaching to the children, I can have the children come right up to the smart board and circle the words or draw lines under the pictures. They can, you know, find the pieces of clip art to add to it, which I know you can do with a regular PowerPoint. But with the smart board, we can. Last week we had Abide With Me. I circled the word abide. We talked about what the word meant, and then the children came up to the smart board and actually wrote the word stay, that abide means stay with me. sometimes if I do a Word of God review, we can do quizzes right on the smart board. And yes, we certainly could do it on a sheet of paper, but for the children who are kinesthetic, having them come up to the board and actually touching the board and using the board, they get to move that way, which that certainly helps their learning. In reading, we use the smart board for vocabulary. We use the smart board for alphabetizing. Virtually any activity that I do, I can do in a workbook, I can also do on the smart board, and then again reach my visual, my auditory, and my kinesthetic learners. A lot of times now, I will actually skip workbook pages because I can find an interactive website and have the children come up to the smart board. They learn so much more by being involved in their learning. We can actually just skip the workbook pages.
Sure.
The
interactivity of the kids and the equipment is what really is the catch for the kids, isn't it? What level of kids wouldn't enjoy, but I especially think probably the younger kids probably are really attracted to the movement that goes on around that piece of equipment.
I think that's very true, but also your kinesthetic learners are also in those upper grades, so teachers who are aware that a child is one of those that has to be moving all the time, that teacher can make sure that when the smart board is on, that the kinesthetic child can be up there and moving, walking towards the smart board and, you know, doing things on the smart board.
Sure.
So there is no subject that I teach that I don't use the smart board. You know, once in a while a day will go by where I don't use it in one particular subject, especially
right.
If it's like an assessment day. But if someone took away my smart board right now, I could not teach.
Yeah. So the implementation of your smart board technology with your curriculum, the integration of the two has been pretty seamless then, hasn't it?
It's very seamless. There's no, we have changed nothing in the curriculum.
All right.
You know, for the smart board. The smart board just works with whatever curriculum you have.
Because remember when we first added computers and other technology, that was always one of the first big hurdles for many teachers and many classrooms is where is the time going to be found to learn this or to devote to this? That's entirely non-relevant with this piece of equipment then, isn't it?
Right. There are a few, you know, I still put the preparation into the lesson, but there's a lot of lessons where I can use a template. And I really don't have to recreate any kind of a lesson. I just change the words in it.
Right. Where do you get your ideas and the material for the lessons that you create?
I think the more you use the smart board, the more ideas you can think of. I've taken a few of the classes, but probably like some of my own children, I definitely learn better when I'm doing it myself. So if I just go to a class and sit there and take notes, it doesn't do a whole lot. But if I come back to the classroom and start working on a lesson, a lot of times I'm working on a lesson plan and go, oh my, I can do this so much better on the smart board. And it just flows. And the more you use it, the more different ways you think to use it. The smart board itself has a gallery of activities where it has cubes that will flip over. So you can write a question on one side of the cube, touch the cube will flip and the answer will be on the back. So you can even write quizzes for the children and have them interact with the quiz material.
So the software that actually comes with the smart board is going to provide you with a lot of the templates and tools that you need. You come up with the ideas, but the actual material is right there contained in the smart board itself, correct?
There are different activities called flash activities, which are all very interactive. There are, I have an interactive, like a 100 board, where my children can, the first graders can come up and we can study even numbers that day and they'll touch all the even numbers and the little cubes will flip around. So it would be very easy to have them sit at their desks and drill even numbers or odd numbers, and yet having them come up to the smart board and flip these little cubes around, it just makes it so much more fun for them. The flash activities, all of the gallery on the smart board is amazing, and Smart Notebook updates itself very often, and when there is a new update, it's a free download.
Okay.
I started out with SmartBoard 6, and I'm now on SmartBoard 10, and everything, and there's a couple points in between there. So there was like a 5.2 and a 6.4, you know, things like that.
Right.
And every time they update, it's a free download.
And with that software, are there also any lesson plans? Is there a bank of lesson plans themselves that you have access to through that software?
If you go to smarttech.com, there are hundreds of thousands of activities for every grade level and every subject.
So you don't have to always start from scratch, do you?
Absolutely not. Sometimes, just like when you go to a teacher's conference, you pick and choose the activities that fit your needs. And it's the same thing with the pre-made lessons. I've looked at some lessons and thought, that's not what I was looking for. And I've looked at other lessons where I thought, that's amazing. I don't need to change anything.
Sure, which really is no different than when you're going to do a web quest with your
Correct.
Kids. And you decide, you look at all that's available out there before you decide, okay, is one of these going to work, or am I going to take the initiative to modify one or to start from scratch and write my own? So
web
I suppose it's very similar.
Yep, and web quests are very fun on the smart board. With my children being first graders, sometimes the reading level is so varied among my children. So if I do a web quest together as a class project, some of my better readers can help my struggling readers.
Sure.
So we do a lot of work together. Even during recess time, I'll put up a map. If we have an inside recess because of a rainy day or a cold day, I'll put a map of the United States up, and the children take the states and put them into the proper place like you would do a puzzle. They're learning, and they don't realize it. They're having fun playing this puzzle.
Amazing that.
Isn't that the best way to teach? Have them think they're playing a game and having fun.
Right. Imagine that. Learning can be fun.
Yeah.
Right. What you said about working together, coming up and working together, reminded me of the word collaboration. And when we read so much about the 21st century learning efforts that comprise much of education today, one of those goals is collaboration and communication. Another is creativity, stressing creativity. Can you see how using the smart board technology integrated with your existing curriculum is one way that you could really emphasize those 21st century goals?
Oh, absolutely. The children work together so much, and they can work when we're doing a web quest, they can work towards the goals together. When we put money problems on the board, one child will, put down the price of, we can put a doll on the board, and one child will put down a price, another child will put down how many dimes and pennies that is, and, then we can count the money. So even activities like that they're working together and solving a problem together, it's so fun to watch them interacting together.
Being able to communicate and get their
yes.
ideas expressed verbally, very important skill that we'd want to stress always in education. What about the creativity? The creative lessons that you're able to create to get the kids to learn, I can readily see that. I don't mean to put you on the spot, Linda, but can you think for a minute, and when you think about a creative lessons where the kids really got to express or to show their creativity, do you have anything that really comes to mind?
And the first thing that popped to my mind is just doing a web together. We can put the subject in the web that we're discussing, and the children can actually come to the board. And the children who write can't fill in the web parts with words, and the children who cannot write can go to the gallery and find the pictures that that go with whatever web we're creating. We can also put Kidspiration on the smart board, and the children can do Kidspiration and other those kinds of activities,
okay.
which they can do independently, but they can also do it together on the smart board.
Sure, and so there you're actually connecting a couple different pieces of software and making them interact by using your smart board technology, but with some existing software that you've used on your computers before.
Correct.
Yeah. Very, very nice. Very cool. Let's see. What haven't we talked about? I guess I was going to ask you first for kind of a wrap-up question, and I, after listening to you, I think I can pretty much predict what you're going to say, but if you had to tell us a great benefit that this has had in your schools, what is the biggest thing that using a smart board does for your teaching that convinces you and the parents of the school that it's worth investing in, because it is a pretty expensive piece of technology?
I actually wanted to address that a little bit. First of all, I've had so many parents tell me how much fun the children have when they are able to work at the smart board. And I think if there's any problem with the smart board is that everyone wants to be up there using it, and some days there's just not time for every single child to be up there for that particular subject. So you kind of have to keep track of who's been up there. So if I know I've had some children up for Word of God, I'll make sure that the other group gets up for reading or math. So the only problem with first graders is they all want to be there all the time.
Sure. Taking
turns is not one of their specialties yet. my smart board is 6 years old, so I have the projector mounted on the ceiling, and I have my smart board low enough that the children can reach it. Therefore, sometimes my head does get in the way, so if there's any little drawback with the ceiling-mounted projector, that's what I would say it is. Our newest smart board has the projector attached right to the smart board itself, so that the kindergarten teacher does not have the head shadow problem.
Okay. So you'd recommend, if you're starting off and you don't already have a projector in the classroom, you would go with the projector smart board combination?
Yes, I would. I talked to our teacher who does the ordering from the smart boards, and he said that the newest smart board was $2,500.
Okay.
Now, my smart board, because we had a projector, a new projector is about $700. A new smart board, if you have the projector, a smart board is about $1,100. So if you are getting a new set of textbooks, your school's going to spend, what, $10,000, $15,000 on that new set of textbooks? I would much rather see 5 smart boards going into the classrooms and delay those textbooks by a year or two.
I think you would have a lot of teachers who would agree with you on that point.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Linda, for sharing with us today. We really appreciate your insight and your sharing your experiences, which seem to be all very positive and very encouraging.
I love my smart board, and I think that the best thing about the smart board is knowing that when I'm using that smart board, I'm reaching all my learners, and that's important. If it makes a little extra work for me, so be it. It's helping the kids, and that's what it's all about, reaching these kids.
Right. Spoken like a wonderful teacher that I'm sure you are, whose children really are blessed by having you working for them and advocating for them every day of the year. We appreciate what you do, Linda, and I'm sure that your parents do also.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for being here with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Gail, well done. That was your first Wells Tech interview. Gail?
Yes. Sorry.
That's okay. You nodded off there.
I did.
Well done. I think that was very informative, and certainly you can tell by the conversation that Linda has not just theoretical or philosophical knowledge of the whiteboard, but she lives in this technology.
That's right. She made a statement that she couldn't teach without it. That's pretty bold.
Mm-hmm.
She's definitely engaged with the smart board in all of her different classes. It's really exciting to hear.
Right. So I think some of our listeners are probably wondering, does this make economic sense? And obviously with these challenging economic times, these are, some might consider luxury items, but certainly Linda doesn't. But there are some good discounts available. The Synod has negotiated some great pricing with a company called InfoCore, and many of our churches and schools would qualify for this pricing, just as an example. And they all depend on the size of the board that you're getting. I think the smallest that they offer, at least that we've got with the plan, is a 48-inch, which is not huge, but that starts at $669 and goes all the way up to the 94-inch models, which are closer to $1,900. You can get those prices by going to the shopwells.net site and clicking on the smart board link at the top under smart technology. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. Also, there's more information on the Commission on Parish Schools site, right, Sally?
That's right, and we'll also have a link to that on the show notes. They have a lot of logistics, fact sheets, and things like that posted on their website. If you're, you know, interested in this, you need to learn. There's definitely some information that would be worthwhile to you for sharing with your school board or parents or whomever.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and we'll post all of that stuff on the website. So check it out. Yes, Sally.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think this is a good opportunity for us to once again promote our Wells Tech Wiki. Mm. And I'll be adding a new Wiki page with some smart board resources to get you started. And the point of a Wiki is for everyone to collaborate. So I encourage all our listeners to go out and add links to their favorite smart board resources. We've got a few to get it started, but let's collaborate and share information here and make it a really useful page.
I think the number of classrooms with them and the number of teachers using them is growing probably every month, at least from the statistics I was seeing from InfoCore. So that would be a great community to get together and share some experiences and some tips and tricks. Good idea. Mm-hmm.
And one more mention, Martin, about training opportunities. We were in touch with Martin Luther College. They have in the past offered, you know, like continuing ed classes on the smart board, and they do plan to offer some this summer. Their summer schedule will be online on February 15th. And so if you're looking for some smart board classes, that might be a good place to check out.
Those aren't, did you say they're online or the course will be online? It's an in-person class, right?
It is an in-person class. The information about the course and getting registered will be online,
okay.
The dates and that kind of thing.
Great. Very good. Gail, thanks again for doing the interview. Wonderful job.
Well, thank you.
I think it's time for Picks of the Week. Gail, you are our semi-regular guest, so why don't you start us off? What's your pick this week?
I'll be happy to. My pick of the week this week is on a place. It's a Web 2.0 tool called SlideShare. It's found at slideshare.net. Mm-hmm. And I chose it because one of the listeners from last week, one of the comments that had come across on the last show was directed toward you with a question about being able to download PowerPoints, hopefully, that you had done for your work with the seminary group. And you shared a little bit about that site. So this site, SlideShare, has a different purpose. Its purpose is to actually share slides, meaning PowerPoints, or even if you're a Mac user, Keynote presentations. Mm. So you can upload these to slideshare.net, where, and then you can just, you know, send a link to someone and say, hey, the PowerPoint that I did on this is online here if you'd like to take a look. And also you can download it if you'd like. So you do have the ability to both upload and download things off of this site, which is a good way to share things. Mm-hmm. So it's a collaborative effort, another collaborative 2.0 effort that I have used and enjoy.
So is it username and password protected? Is it open to the public or both, your choice?
You have a little leeway in how you set that up, yes, mm-hmm. but you need a password and a username.
Right, obviously. Yeah, and is there a storage limit?
There is a storage limit, and I don't know offhand what that is.
But I'm sure if you go there, we would find out. So if you're
yes.
interested, I think that's a great option. You know, the answer that I gave to the listener last week was, sorry, you're out of luck. Because it was a proprietary tool. So this is certainly be an option if you're interested in having people download your stuff. And it sounds like it works with PowerPoint and Keynote. So those are the two big ones. Very
yes.
good. Very good. Sally, you have a pick this week, I assume?
My turn. Yes, I do. This was kind of a fun one for me. This one is kind of dedicated to our classroom teachers. It's a Web 2.02 called Picklets. And Picklets is basically a way to create an image with some text around it in a creative fashion, maybe around a particular topic or whatever. Kind of hard to describe. Maybe you need to go there and experience it yourself. I did one, and I'll include a link in the show notes to my sample Picklets. But it's a lot like doing the refrigerator poetry, drag and drop words, and make them fit with the picture there. And they have some really creative idea inspiring images to include with your Picklets. I asked my 6th through 8th grade computer lab students to create a Picklets about the future and got some really, really interesting results. The kids enjoyed it. It's a great creative outlet for them. You might use it as a starting exercise in creative writing class or something like that. And we actually were able to embed them on our website, post them on the website. The kids were real excited about that, being able to share the output of Picklets on the web and that kind of thing. So a fun tool to use in the classroom, picklets.com.
Very good. My pick is something that Gail referenced, and that was in response to the viewer's question or the listener's question last week about sharing the presentations that I put together for the class I taught at the seminary on productivity. And we've talked about this application before, but I don't think I've ever made it a pick, and it's Slide Rocket at sliderocket.com. Basically, it is an online presentation application, a Web 2.0 application where you basically build the slide presentation online. There are a couple of plans that are available, and this is what I used all of last week, and I or was it 2 weeks ago, whenever we did this up at the seminary, but basically built all of my, each of the 5 days we had a Slide Rocket presentation. I use the individual plan. There's also a free plan, which gives you 250 megs of space. You can import PowerPoints and then ultimately do your authoring. There's also an individual, what they call an individual account, which is $10 a month and allows you 1 gigabyte of space, where you can also publish so that those in the on the internet can get at these, and that's what I provided to the students of the class. You also have a component with the individual plan that you pay $10 for with offline access. So if you're a little nervous about using a Web 2.0 application for presentations, you can always go into offline mode, and then it's running right on your computer. You don't even need to be connected to the internet. That uses something called Google Gears to be able to do that. I find the product better in many regards than PowerPoint. I think they have better transitions. They handle media better. They interface with other online tools like Flickr for grabbing photos. You can put audio files in there. Gail, you mentioned Keynote. I think it's a lot closer to Keynote than it is to PowerPoint. So there are some limitations because it's not because it is Web 2.0. But I think those limitations are becoming less and less as we go through the, you know, the months here and as they begin to improve it. And there are advantages to going with something totally online. Obviously, it's always backed up for you. It's always available to you no matter what computer you're on. You're never quite sure whether you can hook up your laptop or notebook to the presentation machine there in a particular classroom. So this is always online. You just need a web browser to play on almost anything. I just found it real, real useful. And if you can put up with some of the online nature and not being able to, you know, export it to, let's say, a PowerPoint format for somebody to use, this is a really great solution.
I should maybe mention, Martin, too, that one of the things I didn't say about SlideShare, now that you're talking about kind of the combination online-offline thing, with SlideShare now they have a ribbon, they call it, a SlideShare ribbon, and it's in PowerPoint. You download this and it becomes part of your PowerPoint program. Mm-hmm. So actually you can be working in PowerPoint on your desktop and then share and edit and search the slideshow that's online while you're still working in your PowerPoint on the desktop.
Very cool. Gail, are you trying to top my pick?
Yes, I am. I think I can. And you can now also add Google videos very easily too, which
All right.
is a cool thing, but not as cool as being able to work and then go out there and back and forth, kind of, you know.
All right, we got dueling picks today.
They're both good.
That they are. Check them both out. They both have obviously strengths and weaknesses. So there's something out there for everybody. That's the kind of the world in which we live, and that's a great thing to have, because back, what, five years ago, what did we have? We had PowerPoint, right? That was
that's right.
it. So.
And if you couldn't afford PowerPoint, you were lost.
Yeah.
The good thing about SlideRocket is you can do it for free. There's no software involved if you don't, you know, go for the offline access and that kind of thing.
Yep. And just throw another one in the mix if you really want to go totally free and don't want to go Web 2.0, there's OpenOffice, what do they call that, presentation?
Impress,
mm-hmm. which is also a fine product. So lots mm-hmm. of different options out there for you to use and consider. All right, what do we have as far as events coming up in the Wells world, Sally?
Well, next week is going to be the Seminary Mission and Ministry Conference. This is the 2009 version being held February 3rd through 5th. And the theme for this year is Go and Make Disciples at Home, Abroad, and for Life. You can go to the seminary website. There's a link on their homepage to information. You can find out the agenda and registration information right there on the SIM website. And that's at wls.wells.net. So,
and this is open to any pastor? Is that right?
Yes, I believe
okay.
so.
Right. I will be up there next week doing a presentation on web streaming, so we're excited about that, letting everybody know how easy it is and how free it can be as well. So good stuff there.
Very good.
Community feedback. Who is talking to us this past week?
Well, first want to put in another plug for our Wells Tech Wiki, because we had someone come out and edit the Wiki Sandbox. And for those of you that aren't Wiki users, haven't done it in the past, Wikis typically have a sandbox, which is an area where you can go and play, thus the name Sandbox. And we have a new user on the Wells Tech Wiki, D.E. Smith, who talked about working on his home website, Holy Trinity Lutheran in Des Moines, Washington. And he's using a lot of Wells Tech information to work on that website, so that's great to hear. So if you are new to the Wells Tech Wiki, I encourage you to do what D.E. Smith did and go check out the Wiki Sandbox and get your comfort level up. It's mm-hmm. really easy to edit the Wells Tech Wiki. There's a big button that says Easy Edit, and you just need to try it out and get comfortable, and then add your knowledge to our pooled knowledge there on the wiki.
Click and type. That's all there
That's
is
right.
to it. You do need an account yep. to do editing, but you don't need an account just to read what's there. So if you have things to add, we would love to have you be a contributor to that. We know that many of our listeners have stuff that they can share.
Mm-hmm. We also have a couple of links to share with our listeners today from our web staff. We've got a great web staff at Wells, and they're constantly coming across interesting tools and things to share with you. One is from Alyssa Dunning, and she sent us a link to usend.io. It's from the drop.io people, and it's a way to easily send files up to 100 megabyte file limit. So if you need to convey to someone a really large file, this is a good way to do it with the Web 2.0 tool. Very simple interface. You just browse and grab your file and put in the email address you want to send it to, and that's all it is to it. No yep. accounts needed.
Great. I think we've recommended drop.io mm-hmm. in the past, which is a similar service. And then I've used, I believe it's SendIt. There's a bunch of these out there, but you know, more and more, it's just such a pain to send these large files, you know, around the internet, and email systems are really cracking down on that because there's such a glut. So this is a great way to do that.
Mm-hmm. Also heard from Julie Duran, our Wells webmaster, and she provided a link to a page of information geared toward churches and nonprofit organizations with website tips and tricks and that kind of thing. So you'd want to check that out as well. Just a great resource for those who are doing church websites, basically pulling together from a lot of different areas and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm just looking at that now. All kinds of stuff here. Blog on church technology, online resources, web developers of nonprofit websites from squiddo.com. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lots of good information there. And, you know, once you stop learning, that's when the creativity turns off and everything. So it's always good to keep new ideas coming in for your church website.
Yeah, book recommendations, stock photo websites, recommended web hosting, goes on and on. Great stuff. Thanks, Julie.
Yeah. And finally, we heard from our friend John Shoesmith from Redeemer in Yakima, Washington. We talked with John last week about closed caption sermons on the internet, and it's exciting to see that his work is spreading, because a congregation in Georgetown, Texas actually contacted John, and he helped them get started with closed captioning one of their sermons. So John sent us a link to their first closed caption sermon. It's from Cross and Crown Lutheran Church in Georgetown, Texas. So we'll include a link to that in our show notes as well.
A synodical closed caption revolution. I feel it.
It's exciting.
It's hard work.
Yeah.
As John talked about 2 weeks ago. Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Very good. Coming up on Wells Tech next week, we're going to continue, Sally, our discussion on Clay Shirky's book, Here Comes Everybody. We're up to Chapter 3, so those of you following along at home, make sure you've read Chapter 3 or reread it if you've read the book already. A great read. We have a link to it, I believe. We'll have to put another link to that on the show notes where people can grab that. But if you just do a search on Amazon, Here Comes Everybody, Clay Shirky, you'll find the book. Great read. We're going to talk about Chapter 3, which is Everyone is a Media Outlet. And this is kind of the core of the book, where he talks a lot about the movement from mass media to what he calls mass amateurization.
It's easy for you to say.
I know. I'll have to figure out another word to use next week before we go through this. But basically, the ability for all of us to be our own mass media outlets through blogs and podcasts and the like. And I believe there's some real solid ministry applications here as to, you know, how a church or a school could take advantage of this concept that everyone is a media outlet. And very similar to Everyone is a... yes, exactly. Everyone is an evangelist. Everybody has that option now to let their voice be heard in even a wider swath. So tune in next week for a conversation on Chapter 3 of Here Comes Everybody. Well, Gail, thank you again for joining us. Great to have you, and wonderful job with the interview of with Linda. That was great stuff.
Well, good. I had a good time doing it.
Good. We look forward to having you back again next month. Sally, as always, thank you for joining us. Great work on the website and all the other stuff that makes this thing go. I really have the easy job. So I
Thanks,
will talk
Martin.
To you next week, as well as all of our listeners. Let's close the show, as we always do, with our Wells featured artist. And this week it is In His Service. They will be singing or playing as instrumental I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say from their album In His Time. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We will talk to you next week.